Hello, friends. Welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast, coming to you live from the bunker, the studio IO Radio in Ipswich. Ross, you're looking at me concerned. Are my levels okay?
They're okay, yeah.
Bloody hell, you're loud.
I'm loud.
Jesus, turn yourself down, lad.
Hello? Yeah, I think it's fine now.
There was a little hint there that I'm joined by Ross, obviously. But the whole band is with me this week, which is unusual. Sitting to my left, looking a bit tired. You all right, Hogan?
Bit tired, yeah.
Looking a bit tired. The boy we like to call Hutch Hogan. Andy Warren is his actual name. How you, mate? All right?
Yeah, good, mate. Tired.
Why are you so tired?
Because got an 18-month-year-old daughter.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Just tired, innit?
Yeah.
Late night at Luton.
Yeah.
Early mornings.
Yeah. Life of a football reporter and young dad.
Yep.
The glamorous life. Also, sitting across from him, wearing a very nice white shirt today and dancing along. Like you've freshly shorn your head as well.
Yes.
The man with the analytical, logical mind. That's why he's known as the Doctor. Stuart Watson.
I'm also tired, but I'm going to fake it. I'm going to fake it big time.
Oh, no. Have you shaved your whole head this time, or did you leave that little you left a little tufty bit last week, didn't you?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Little tufty
bit. I thought that was a new fashion sort of thing.
It was a bit just above my right ear.
Yeah.
I obviously just self-shave my head now because I am not paying a barber £10 for the privilege. I can just do it at home. But I did leave, it was quite a sizable chunk, was it, above my ear?
Yeah, it was. It was a strip, I'd say.
Yeah. If that had been under your bottom lip, it wouldn't have been out of place.
All the footballers will be doing it now, probably. Yeah,
it's a bit probably. Like Jet, in a way. You know when Jet had that sort of little line down his head?
That's what kind I was going
the same
for.
Sort of vibe, apart from you were going just above the
I'm
going
to bleach it as well next time.
Boys, out of the two of you, who's the most tired?
We're always tired.
Always tired. Now, what's most responsible for tiredness? Is it the fact you're a young father? Or is it the fact that you're always working?
It's a brutal 50-50. Combination.
A brutal combination. The man who also is always tired, of course. But
what's
so
your
far,
reason for being tired, Ross?
Just don't sleep, really.
Fatigue.
What time do you go to bed?
Poor diet.
Poor diet. Probably been on my phone too late at night.
Very bad for you.
Yeah.
What time do you go to bed, averagely?
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Depends. What?
Yeah, that'll do you.
That's why you're tired, my friend. That's no secret.
I just can't sleep. So, yeah, like Sasha's all fast asleep, and I'm just like going.
You're playing Minecraft on the PS4.
No. I just can't sleep. So yeah.
Anyway, that's producer Ross, Lightning Boy. Play that intro, Ross. Otherwise, Stevie Wonder will be onto us. How are you, Ross?
I'm okay.
Yeah. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Awake, which is a bonus.
That's rare. I've not been awake.
You've not been awake?
At this time, the last 2 days.
Ah, okay, so. Yeah. Ross has had a week off. We'll come on to that in a minute. First of all, I want to start the show in an unusual manner. Normally, I start by taking the piss out of everyone, and we'll get onto that in a minute. But I want to start with a thank you. It's important because in the latest iTunes charts, we, my friends, the Kings of Anglia, the humble Kings of Anglia podcast, covering little old Ipswich Town, a team in League One, are ranked 18th in the UK in the iTunes football charts, which is tremendous. And obviously, we sit here and record this every week. I think it's fair to say that it's probably the most fun thing we do every week. What are you just doing at me?
I was just gesturing for you to move your mic back slightly.
I thought you were giving me the wanker sign.
No.
Anyway. Yeah.
18th.
18th in the UK, my friends. And obviously, as I say, we sit and record this every week. It's tremendous fun. And it's somewhat baffling and shocking to find that so many of you enjoy it. I start the show every week saying, hello, friends. And I kind of mean that. Do you know what I mean? I feel like everyone who listens to this is involved. Obviously, the friends of the show. But we like getting updates from the boys like Chris Wright in the Bahamas, John Watson in New Zealand, Stefan Vasek travelling the world. And we'll come on to some more overseas listeners in a minute. But I just want to say thanks to anyone who's ever listened, who's left us a 5-star review, who's left us a rating on iTunes. It's really important. So, yeah, thanks. Thanks very much. Boys, anything to add?
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks on that. Oh, 18th, how does that, like, that's not 18th in terms of number of listeners, is it?
It's a combination of factors. Apparently iTunes are very secretive how they rank things. Okay. But
is it a complex algorithm?
It's a complex algorithm. It's all to do with subscribers, how many people make it through the whole podcast, the reviews you get, as I say, I'm always teasing reviews because that's important in terms of visibility. But I genuinely do mean anyone who's ever listened to this and left his review and kind of got them involved in any way, I think it's really good.
Apart from that 1 4-star review that we got.
That 1 4-star review. And there's someone who mugged you off saying that the mailbag jingle made them cringe every week. But he still left a review, so
don't
thank
want
you.
Them get lost.
obviously we're not going to stop here. The goal now is to get into the top 10. I did see that we appeared on iTunes homepage alongside the likes of the SI.com soccer podcast.
Are we big in America?
What, we're on the homepage?
On the football podcast homepage, yeah.
Really?
Under new and noteworthy.
Wow. Also, I've noticed when you search for it, when you used to type in Kings and then it would start with Kings of Leon, we've now jumped ahead of that.
Well, so
immediately comes up with us.
So it should be. Anyway,
They've not done much for a while. Nah.
That's enough sincerity from me.
Lazy.
We've not all been together for quite some time, so what have you three fannies been up to?
Fannies?
Yeah.
There's no need for that, is there?
There is. So last time we were all, I think last time we recorded was obviously a week ago last Monday. Stu, you weren't here because you were at a wedding. You decided to take the first weekend of the season off.
Yeah.
How did that go?
All right.
I know you secretly wanted to be at Burton because you were even tweeting about Holy and Lord Norwood from the wedding.
Yeah.
You didn't want to be at the wedding, did you, at that point?
No, I did want to be at the wedding, but wanted to be at the first game of the season.
Yeah. So the wedding was good?
The wedding was good,
How much did you check your phone while you were there?
Not a lot, because I was in the middle of nowhere in Cornwall, so I didn't have a great reception.
Down in Cornwall.
But I was aware they were 1-0 up, and I knew they'd won at the final whistle.
Hutchie Warren, I've seen you recently. You're on a one-man mission to see all of the Elmers.
It's a one-man, one-girl mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've shared some adorable pictures of Jessica on your Instagram story. How many Elmers have you done? How many are there left?
We've done 44 out of 55. Wow. We're getting there.
Is there a favourite?
The mammoth one in the bottom
market. I thought it was excellent. Is that the woolly one?
Yeah.
That looks tremendous.
It's in a little case as well. Like, it's a museum thing. There's a good ladybird one as well in town.
Is Jessica's favourite also the woolly mammoth?
No. She likes, in the tourist information centre, there are some little ones. There's about 10 of them. She went mental for them yesterday.
Yeah.
Just charging around, Elmer, Elmer, Elmer.
Do you have a set plan when you set out on a day's Elmer expedition? Or do you just wander around?
No, I don't do plans. Just go where the wind takes you, where the elephants take you.
Maverick.
Yep.
Roscoe, turning to you, you've been off for a week.
Yes.
You went to Cambridge, you took your good lady away. Mm-hmm. First question, obviously, did you manage to avoid proposing?
Yes, I did.
Was it hard?
But, there is a but there. I did buy her a ring, but it's more just a ring.
Does she now wear the ring?
Yes, she does.
Where does she wear it? Which finger?
I think the middle finger. So maybe it is a middle finger going, nope.
Is it what the Ute then referred to as a promise ring?
No.
What's a promise ring?
It's like, basically, I'm going to marry you one day.
What is the Ute then?
The Ute then. The youth. Anyone listening to this on the age of 16 will know exactly what I'm talking about. What did you get up to?
Bit of punting, as you do in Cambridge.
Very nice.
A lot of alcohol. A lot of alcohol drank and a lot of food consumed.
I assume you went and saw the sights. You went to King's College and looked at the fine architecture. Well, and
luckily, our hotel was just a 2-minute walk to there, so basically we went there every day.
You were right on the river as well, weren't you?
It was. It was very nice.
It was good.
Yeah.
Excellent, good to have you back. You've not been hit by lightning again?
No, close though.
A lot of people enjoy
it. Cambridge, yeah.
Close.
Boys, before we move on, there's a couple of things I just want to clear up from previous podcasts why you've not been here. I revealed a couple of weeks ago that I bought a pair of mustard chinos. We speculated. I'm wearing plum chinos today, by the way, if anyone's asking.
Have a little look under the desk.
Oh, wow.
But I'm teamed in with trainers because I'm so hip.
Hippity hop.
We speculated that, Hutchie, you were not a man who would wear a pair of chinos, own a pair of chinos. Can you confirm?
Why not? Why? Just because I own those one pair of denim shorts?
Well, because you're notorious for saying I don't really like making an effort when it comes to
are chinos dressed. Really making an effort? Well, just a pair of trousers?
Do you wear chinos?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
What colour?
Not mustard, they're navy.
One pair of chinos.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. That's cleared that up. We've got that. What's going on? Breaking news?
It's my dentist texting me, reminding me I've got an appointment. It's not exciting.
When's the appointment, Stu?
Monday.
Have you got any dental problems at the moment?
No.
Excellent. Just a check-up?
Routine, yeah.
Clean and polish, all that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think it was last podcast, Mark's big question was, where do you stash your porn when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm.
We established that Roscoe is a member of the digital age, so
he
didn't have to worry about that.
Of course he bloody is. He didn't
have
to work for it.
So is Hutchman, who's actually only got one eye open as we speak. and obviously, I am the granddad of the group, so I had to go with the old school under the bed method. But how about yourself? You're kind of...
Under the bed was definitely, yeah. Yeah. There was also one of our group had got a VHS to VHS sort of recording device, so you could copy them. So he'd found his own dad's stash,
yeah.
And then was had a bit of a
selling them on, was he?
Yeah, had a bit of a production line going, was making quite the bit of money on the side around the school.
Was he?
That's such an Essex thing,
isn't it? Though, isn't it? Fantastic. Good stuff. Right, then.
It was a Dutch production from memory.
Excellent. Good production values. That's enough for catch up, boys. Let's talk about football. There's a lot to discuss. Kings of Anglia, Ipswich Town podcast. Ipswich Town have played twice since we last spoke. They played Sunderland on Saturday. Stu, your first game of the season.
Yes.
They didn't win. They don't win when you're there.
No.
They drew 1-1. And then on Tuesday, who could have seen it coming? They went out of the Carabao Cup in the very first round. At Championship Luton, a game in which Town were the underdogs. They lost 3-1. Let's start with Luton, first of all, because it's the most recent game. Gents, you were there. Your thoughts, please.
My thoughts are that people have maybe got a little too over at the top excited about what that means for Ipswich. Is that the dentist again?
Yeah, just it's fine. We don't have to draw people's attention.
Are you mates with your dentist? What's going on?
It's just an automated text. It's fine. I feel like I can't move or do anything without it being pointed out.
It's just buzzing the table, that's all.
Okay, carry on.
Yeah, I'm not reading an awful lot into it. It was what it was. Ipswich Town reserves, essentially. Unfit players, youngsters. What are you doing, Ross?
Carry on.
yeah.
And people are saying, oh, it was Luton's reserves, Luton's B team. Yes, they made 11 changes, but their changes were bringing in... three new signings, I think, who would have played, will be first team players, but they'd only signed on deadline day last Thursday, so they hadn't featured at the weekend. Izzy Brown being one
he
of them,
fantastic,
who ran the show.
And he's all right, isn't he?
Yeah, he's highly rated at Chelsea. He's had loan spells at places like Brighton and Leeds, and his career would probably be more advanced had it not been for injuries thus far. So their standard of players they were bringing in was very different to Ipswich, who were playing, with the greatest respect, players that were in the under-18s fairly recently, let alone the under-23s like Clements and Dobber and others as well. And then the senior players were half-fit, semi-fit at best. Emir Hughes, first start in 20 months, competitive start. Alan Judge missed the whole of pre-season.
Gwion Edwards hadn't trained, basically, for most of pre-season. James Wilson... only joined the day before the start of the season.
Jordan Roberts didn't barely kick a ball during his loan spell at Lincoln back end of last season. Dizelle, year out, and then didn't play a huge amount last year. You could go through that entire team, with the exception of Luke Chambers, who was the only one to keep his place. They had not played a lot of football individually, certainly not as a team. It didn't come as a huge surprise that they went out, and I don't think there'll be too many tears shed from Paul Lambert it's one less game to worry about now.
This is different as well from previous seasons, I'd say, in that in years gone by, we knew that Ipswich probably wouldn't be challenging for promotion from the Championship, and that a bit of a cup run was the chance to add some excitement to the season. This year it's different. We're expecting Ipswich to be challenging at the top of the league, challenging for promotion. Going out of the cup is probably It's not a bad thing, and it is what it is. It's just different. It's not the same old cup exit. It's very different in my mind.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a positive cup exit, is what you're saying.
As they can be, yeah. You're right. In previous years, what's the best that you could get from your season? We knew Ipswich were kind of battling the odds, so fans at least hope that, okay, maybe a little cup run.
A nice day out somewhere,
you know, and Mick was still kind of making 10, 11 changes and not being bothered about that, whereas Andy's right, it's different this year.
There was, of course, one positive to emerge from the game, the young boy Armando Dobra, who scored. And from your tweets, Stewie, it sounded like he was by far the standout player. People who've not seen him play, what kind of player is he? What does he bring to the pitch? And how far away will he be from first team action come league games?
He's diminutive. I don't know how tall he is, but he's
probably, I think he's shorter than me. So
yeah.
That'll tell you what you need to know.
So he's about 5 foot what, 3?
Low centre of gravity. Very good
low
feet.
Low centre of gravity, that's a classic. Yeah. Short ass, basically.
Whoa.
He's got a very good touch, very quick feet.
Confident, isn't he?
Confident, tricky. There was a few little boxer tricks. There was one big diagonal that he killed on his thigh and then tricked his way past someone. He's exciting to watch. And off the ball, he's a bit like Tristan Nydam in the way he's quite scrappy. And he was, you know, he got booked towards the end for a robust slide tackle.
He did that in pre-season a couple of times as well. Yeah. He'll chuck a long slide in. Mm. He's a hustler.
Took his goal well as well. Nice little finish into the bottom corner. He's not done his chances any harm, especially when Ipswich are wide players are at a premium at the moment, especially with Luke Garbutt now out for a month as well. So we saw Jack Lancaster kind of come very much from left field in pre-season last year and then find himself in the team. Mm. It's not out of the question that Armando could do the same.
And Bailey Clements played as well, didn't he?
He did, yeah. It was more of a steep learning curve for him on Tuesday night. It's a difficult one, being a defender in a team of strangers against decent opposition. It's fair to say that he was given a bit of the runaround in the first half. They had a winger, Cornick, that seemed to be getting in down that right-hand side quite a bit, but credit to him, he improved as the game went on, and I'm sure he'll be a better player for it. You learn a lot more from those games than you do the Monday afternoons at Playford Road. So not probably quite there yet, Bailey, but he is 18, and it was a difficult situation for him to shine in.
What's happened to Corey Ndaba?
Interesting, isn't it? He wasn't even in the squad. I don't know.
Because he was at the end of back end of last season, if I remember rightly, Lambert was talking about how he was definitely going to play before the end of the season, very high on him, and now he seems to have vanished from the picture.
The talk then was that he wasn't impressed with performances in the 23s. They ended their season quite poorly, the 23s. They were on for winning there. They won the southern version of their league and were on for winning the playoffs, but they lost their last league game, and then the playoffs, they were really quite poor by their standards, and Lambert wasn't impressed with what he saw there. I'm sure it wasn't just that either, in terms of maybe a reaction to that from Corey wasn't what he wanted. I was really surprised that he didn't make the bench at Burton. Bailey Clements was the only defender on the bench there, with Emmanuel and Darba travelling but not included. So he's drifted, hasn't he?
Roscoe, you're best mates with all of the under-18s, the young players. You must know Dobra. What's he like as a person?
He's a good lad. His dad's a bit of a character.
Oh, yeah?
His daddy's all in full tracksuit, and he's just shouting at the refs and shouting at different players.
He's passionate.
He is passionate, yeah.
Excellent. So, yeah. Something going on? Phone's being passed?
Yeah.
News is breaking?
Sky Sports are saying that Ipswich have had a bid accepted for Kane Vincent Young.
Oh, there we go. Right, end this. Let's get to the office. Stick that online. So, yeah, we might as well talk about that now then, Ben. It's breaking news. Kane Vincent Young, Stu, you broke the story on Sunday.
Mm.
A player that Town had on trial last season.
Yep.
Now it sounds like they're going to sign him.
Yep.
Tell us about him. What sort of player?
Versatile. Primarily a fullback. Right-footed. Primarily a right-back, but played the whole of last season pretty much for Colchester at left-back.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's now gone back to right-back because Colchester have signed a left-back this summer. Attack-minded, athletic, quick, decent on the ball. So he's got the qualities to play further forward as a winger, as a wing-back if required.
Mm-hmm.
He was on trial last summer. Paul Hurst brought him or took him out to Spain for that boot camp, effectively what it was. They didn't sign him, I think probably because they ended up getting Danasian instead. He was out of contract last summer, but Ipswich would have had to pay some sort of compensation for him because he's under 23, 24. So Paul Lambert has now looked at him again. I was told on Saturday by someone at the club that it was happening. I made it, well, you know, there was a good, they were very, very keen on him. Mm. Made a few calls, kind of got that backed up. So, yeah, we did the story on that Sunday, and others have followed suit, and Sky are now saying a bid has been accepted. So it'll be interesting to know what the value is of that. Mm. We were kind of speculating before we started this, Andy and I, and maybe looking at Frankie Kent, who went from Colchester to a League One side in Peterborough this summer, similar age, defender. I think he went for about 400, 450, something like that. Year left on his contract, exactly the same as Vincent Young. So might be Ipswich spending a little bit of money here.
Yeah, I think Sunderland are still keen on him as well. So not wrapped up by the sounds of things, but you'd think Ipswich would be in pole position for that, given geography, that kind of thing.
Where do you see him fitting in the team?
Right back.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, maybe not straight away from the start. It'd be interesting with the Garbutt situation, whether they utilise him further forward temporarily, but long term, I think he's being signed as the right back. I don't think, I mean, Josh Emmanuel clearly is further down the pecking order. Andy touched on it. He's been out of the two opening squads completely. Gives away a very silly penalty at Luton on Tuesday night. I'm not sure Lambert's convinced on him at all, and he's not the first manager that's not been convinced on him thus far. And Danasian, I don't think he's completely sold on Janoi either, to be honest. They're kind of opposites, aren't they? Janoi is a very good one-on-one defender, and Josh is better going forwards, but seems to have a mistake in him.
Get in the lab.
Blend them up, stitch them together, and you've got the complete fullback there, haven't you? But
I think fullbacks, we touched on this in pre-season, is probably an area that is not their greatest strength at the moment, Ipswich, and Paul Lambert's probably acutely aware of that. So, yeah, right back.
I like that signing. If they get it done, I like it.
A lot of fans do, actually. Obviously, there was a reaction on social when you put the story out there, Stewie, and there was a lot of positivity. Obviously, there were a few people saying, we had him on trial, can't believe, you know, now we're paying money for him, sort of thing. But most people seem to be positive. So that also will cover a lot of the mailbag questions, which we'll come on to in a bit. Before we move on, Sunderland, obviously, on Saturday. Stuart, your first game of the season. First time you saw Town in competitive action. 1-1 draw. It sounded like they absolutely bossed the first half.
Yep.
And then Chambers made a rick and it ended up being 1-1. Mm-hmm. What were your impressions?
I do feel sorry for Luke. I have to say that to start with, because as a centre-back, you make a mistake like that and it makes headlines, especially if you don't win the game. You know, forward players can make multiple mistakes and it doesn't quite get highlighted the same. I mean, Alan Judge, we have to say, had a bit of a mare when he came on, and there's reasons for that. He's not got his sharpness back yet, having missed a lot of pre-season, but pretty much everything he did didn't quite go right. There was corners just, you know, going over the top of everybody, misplaced passes. Positionally, he was probably not as disciplined as he should have been on that left-hand side, but it's Luke Chambers who's kind of hung out to dry for his mistake, and it was a mistake. Could Thomas Holy have come? Possibly. Not convinced on that, but maybe. Did Luke think the wind was going to carry the ball because it had happened a few times? Possibly, but first rule of defending, stick it in Rose Ed. And nobody will be beating himself up more than Luke Chambers. There's nothing anybody can say to him that will make him feel any worse. And for me, he still absolutely should be in that. He had a good game, other than that mistake aside. Him and Luke Wolfenden, who was very impressive. I thought they had a decent pairing there. Sunderland never looked like scoring, even in the second half when they changed it tactically and they saw a bit more of the ball and they were coming into it. I can't think of many chances where they really looked that dangerous.
No, I can see why Sunderland fans are on Jack Ross's back, actually. That was really quite negative, wasn't it? And it's been like that for some time, apparently. Sunderland, I can see why they're getting frustrated by that.
Let's talk a bit more about Chambers, because obviously post-mistake, there were more than a few fans on social media saying, "Time to drop him. He's a weakness. His game's gone. He's what is he 34? He's ancient. Can't do it anymore." I have to say, when we did story online, there were far more fans saying that he's an important part of the team and keep him in, that kind of thing. But Stu, you just hinted at it there. You're very much in Team Luke.
Yeah, not so. I'm not going to sit here and just because I've interviewed him over the summer and stuff like that, I know people will go, "Oh, you point all that out." I just genuinely, objectively think that he should be in the team at the moment. I'm not saying that that will forever be the case and that nobody's place in the team should be guaranteed. He would say that as well. But at the moment, I genuinely think on merit, you know, what would be the other options at the moment? You know, Toto's not back till September. That's another discussion. If Toto's fit again and Wolfenden is playing as well as he is at the moment and Toto comes back and is playing really well, then that's a different conversation. But right here, right now, Luke Chambers should be in the team.
Can't add any more to that. I completely agree.
You always agree, you two.
Not always.
That's not true.
Start arguing, please. Makes good radio. Lord James Norwood, goal drought. 2 games, no goals. Yeah, you can do it in pre-season, but when it counts, you can't do it, can you? What's going on with Norwood? The goals will come, I'm reliably informed, by Hutchie.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. He's everything that he obviously didn't play on Tuesday. Previous Saturday, every time he had a sniff, it was just blocked. They didn't fall to him in areas where he could really have a clean shot at things. I think he's only really had one kind of clear effort on goal as an Ipswich player. Everything else has been a bit snatched and half chances, but I'm sure the goals will come. He's getting in the positions. That's the key thing.
That's what he's bringing to the team in terms of his all-round play as well, just finally giving them a bit of a presence up front, someone who's fighting for loose balls. And in this kind of... They've not actually played... They were playing decent football when they went down. I don't know if they've played through the thirds in the same way so far. Paul Lambert's talked about it being rock and roll football. It's kind of a bit chaotic and it's two up front and it's a bit of a throwback at the moment. They're just using a bit of pace and
rock and rock
football. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, it's but chaotic in a good way, and kinds of it was very engaging the first half. It wasn't always perfect. There was misplaced passes, lots of things that went wrong. It was very raw around the edges, but they were giving it a go, and it was, Lambert says whatever you, it will always be energetic and it will always be hopefully exciting, and we'll win, lose and draw, but hopefully you'll always feel it's value for money. And that's, I think, what fans have been crying out for. So, I thought it was fun to watch on Saturday.
Excellent. The other thing we have to mention, of course, Luke Garbutt, 2 goals in 2 games, then gets injured, out for a month. Town's bad luck with injuries continues. How much of a miss is he going to be, and how are they going to fill that gap?
I think the size of the miss that he will be is how they fill the gap, because there's no one really kind of naturally to fill that position unless Gwion Edwards is good to go in the league. I think him being missing will probably result in the system changing to the 4-2-3-1, I personally think. Rather than the 4-4-2, I don't know who you'd play.
What are the options? We've got Andre Dizel out on the wing. Not a big fan of that, I have to say. Although Lambert showed he's not adverse to doing that. He put him wide right in a 4-4-2 for the latter stages on Saturday. Who else have we got?
Judge in a 4-4-2. No, thank you.
Yeah, I think we've discussed that to death in terms of how he goes wandering and doesn't.
I don't mind. I'd rather he's in the middle. I don't mind him playing there when there's the three behind the striker, because you've got that bit more cover for the left back because of what the two midfield players are being asked to do in that. Why is anyone looking at the TV?
I don't know.
You turn the TV on, so now we have a full screen version of what Ross sits and looks at. I'm just looking at all the jingles. I'm wondering what Reese Radio by Ross on Studio One is. Is that an advert? What is that?
Where's that? Anyway, we'll carry on.
Yeah, I don't mind him being the left in the 4-2-3-1. I'd rather he's playing centrally, but not in a 4-4-2.
And then who else? There was one more, wasn't there? Dobra, of course. Dobra. If Dobra's done enough on Tuesday night to go straight into the team. But again, big ask in a 4-4-2. Yeah. I'm liking Jackson and Norwood up front at the moment. I thought Jackson came on and had a really big impact, and I think almost attack is the best form of defence for Ipswich at the moment. So for that reason, I'd quite like them to stick with that and just, you know, but fortune favours the brave.
Who goes wide left then?
I'd even be tempted just to chuck Dobber in at the moment. I don't know.
Ride the hot hand, ride the youth, ride the adrenaline.
Yeah, quite possibly. You two are very distracting.
There's Vossy Bop. You talk amongst yourselves, that's what you're doing. Vossy Bop is up there.
Yeah, Stormzy.
Outstanding. A small musical interlude. Who's a Stormzy fan?
I'm
not against him.
Not anti-Stormzy.
Dave,
Excellent.
Good old Dave.
That was a setup. Nice. A musical interlude. Now then, where were we? You talked at length there about Garbutt. Sexy stuff we've covered because Kane Vincent Young is coming into town by the sound of it. Very exciting. Anything else going on in that respect? Tom Elliott, not happening. Striker from Millwall.
That's just where it was before.
Yeah, you get the feeling that if nothing else has happened and the deadline's approaching, they could revisit that, but...
That would be a grudging revisit, I think, at this moment.
Nothing else happening?
Not that we're aware of.
Super. Now then, should we get on to mailbag? Should we answer some questions? We've got a lot of questions to get through. I put out the... You all right, Hachi?
Yep.
I put out the appeal last night, so we've got a lot to get through. A lot of them will be concerned with Kane Vincent Young, I'd imagine. But, Hachi, do you want to do the honours?
Yes. Please.
Clear those pipes.
Mailbag, mailbag. Mark and his Hugo dipping in the mailbag.
You was... Oh.
Boop, boop.
Apologies. Almost, well, I did ruin it, to be fair. I did ruin it. So. You received the highest rating of all time from Alastair Rattray for last week. You called it effortless and a tour de force.
That wasn't my best work. If I graded myself, I've just done a 7.
A 7. A 7 solid.
Yeah.
7 solid.
I think it was better than that.
Thanks, mate.
Blimey. I'm having to stroll back. There's a lot of chat on here about OK Diner sausage. Where is the start? Here we go. As Town and the Honey Badger, this is Nigel Gooding, now using the emojis, the Honey Badger. Honey Badger is a thing, boys. Please accept it.
It's a bit of a thing.
It is a thing. We'll win all competitions except League Cup this season. What is the most minor and major thing you've ever won? My guess is that Ross wins his fight for survival against fatigue and hunger each day.
Just.
So far.
Not every day.
Not every day, no. Sometimes he sits at about 5 p.m. and says, I'm really hungry, reveals he's not eating anything all day, and then goes off and smashes a whole thing of Jaffa Cakes.
3 Nandos a week.
Yeah. So, what is the most major and minor thing you've ever won?
The minor thing would be Liam Stott's 10th birthday.
Liam Stott?
Yeah, that's Matt's brother.
Is it?
His 10th birthday quiz, which I destroyed.
Yeah.
And then I got a trophy for that, which I still have. Should have given it back.
Outstanding.
Still got it.
Outstanding.
I don't know if that's minor or major.
How much did it mean to you at the time? It
means the world to me.
There you go, it's major and minor at the same time.
Yeah.
Stewie, what have you won?
What have I won?
Apart from your wife's heart.
I'm still working on that. Major Sunday League Cup final.
Yeah.
It was like one of those.
Come on, don't play it off.
After,
don't play it off like this.
The Bob Coleman, like, it was
you
named
know
after
what it
some
is. Come
dude.
On, it means a lot.
I genuinely can't remember, but we played the final at Maldon, and that was that was as good as it got for me in a football sense. Minor. When we went on a go, I don't think you were here then. We went on a go-karting team bonding outing.
Oh no, I was here. I was invited, but obviously I'm miserable. So
yeah, you just didn't go. Yeah. I won that, and they did the Podium thing. That was indoor karting. One.
Did you get champagne? Switch.
Yeah, sprayed did that you? Everywhere. Yeah.
I'd love to do that.
That was great.
The most major thing I've ever won.
Yeah.
And I'm a 2-time, maybe even 3-time winner of this, the Lazy Boy Cup.
What's
which
that?
Which is a competition between me and 3 of my oldest friends, Dave, Chris, Will. Every year, although we've lapsed a little bit. So the Lazy Boy Triathlon of golf, darts, and pool. We have a little tournament every year. I'm a 3-time winner of that.
And how's that work then? How's it all added up? Is it just who wins like, which one and then?
No, it's like you'd get the scores from a triathlon. So like the winner of each event gets 10 points, 8 points, 6 points, and then that all melds together into the title.
I think we should cover that this year. When is it?
TBC. Normally around Christmas time.
Excellent. Let's do it.
There's a trophy. We've got a proper trophy and everything engraved.
Yeah.
With our names on.
Awesome. That sounds fantastic. Roscoe, what about you? What have you won?
Under-14s, league and cup, double.
Boy.
Who are you playing for?
Achilles. So that's probably our biggest achievement. Egg and spoon race. Sports day. Won that.
Technique. Egg and spoon's all technique.
Yeah, that's probably it, really.
I once won best boy dancer at school.
Best boy dancer. Yeah.
I've not shared this before, but when I was at school, I was a big Michael Jackson fan. We're talking sort of 7, 8 years old, and also I could do the splits, which basically meant that every school dance, disco, whatever, someone would whack on Jackson. A group would form around me, and I'd bust out all the Jackson moves and basically do loads of splits. Yeah, best boy dancer.
Best
2 years running.
Best boy dancer.
Yeah, yeah.
BBD.
I've got sick moves.
It's quite the near miss for you now when you look back on it, because you could have been chosen. You could have been one of the chosen ones.
Mm.
For what?
For MJ.
Anyway. To be one of his dancers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could have been, yeah.
Ross, you've missed your slot, mate. You've been desperately... I've seen on your screen, you're desperately trying to find some MJ, aren't you?
Maybe.
It's gone. The moment's gone.
Oh, okay.
Where are we?
Too slow.
Barney Booth. Heard Grant Ward has rejected offers from Rotherham. Any news on whether he's been offered a Varney-like deal from Ipswich?
He's not fit yet, so no.
He has. Is he still rehabbing at Ipswich?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's at the game on Saturday. He's at the Sunderland game. But he's not fit. He won't be fit till, what, October? Probably.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think his preference probably would be to stay more southern.
That's why Rotherham were rejected. But
FPL Tractor. Where would the fellas play Judge on Saturday? Sorry, would the fellas play Judge on Saturday? If so, where? I would, and I'd play him as the number 10 in a 4-2-3-1.
I'd be tempted to do that as well.
I'd be tempted to stick with 4-4-2. Here we go.
Hey!
Hutchie and I.
Yes.
Come on, then.
Yeah.
Come
Why?
On, then.
Why, Stu?
I just don't think Alan's quite there at the moment. He's had a lot going on over the summer with missing a lot of games, the QPR stuff and all of that. I like Jackson. I thought Jackson had a big impact, and I think at the moment attack is the best form of defence. Keep Jackson and Norwood up front.
You're
but
saying?
I appreciate that that doesn't leave you with many winger options, but
you're saying
that's what
Hutchie doesn't know what he's talking about. Nice.
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm saying.
The pin.
Friend of the show.
Number.
I can't remember number these numbers.
Are you doing all the jingles, by the way? I thought it was Stu.
I don't know, but you looked at me and I panicked.
You bust it out. You got it.
Sorry, Stu.
The pin says Honey Bee, the honey badger, has now been in charge of 35 Ipswich Town games. But I still have no idea about what our style of play is under him and what is our first 11. I'm even more convinced now this season is already looking like a write-off unless new quality blood comes in before September the 2nd. Discuss #turmoil, which is one of his favourite hashtags.
What's the style of play?
You described it earlier as chaotic. Which...
Yeah.
Is that a good
based
thing?
Based on Saturday... That was kind of a bit like that. We've obviously gone from... It was a big thing last year that it was 4-3-3, and that's my formation. And he did an interview around the time of the Derby game, I think, with one of the national guys, Nick Ames. And he was talking about how another manager had once said to him, why'd you keep changing formation? And he said, well, I'm trying to find a formula that works. The advice was, don't do it. It confuses the players. Stick with something. And 4-3-3... seemed to be the thing that he was sticking at. I think I alluded to before, they were doing PowerPoint presentations around the club, throughout the youth teams, with the women's teams, that this is the way we play, and 4-3-3 was at the heart of that. But at the moment, it's kind of needs must with the amount of injuries that they've got, that you've got to utilise. Ultimately, you've got to utilise the strength of the players at your disposal and find a formation that suits them. And that goes back to why, you know, if you want Jackson and Norwood in the team, Jackson works best in a front two. We know that. I don't know if he's quite as effective sort of wide in a 4-3-3. You could go through a lot of them. I just think that suits what they've got available at the moment, so it's kind of needs must, and maybe putting a few principles on hold for the time being.
I think what they want to be doing is to be having Norwood as the lone striker with a three behind him. That's what they want to be doing. That's what Norwood did last year with Tranmere, and that's where he scored all those goals. That's why they've signed him. But you're right that if you haven't got the players to do it, you can't force something that's not there. Personally, I like the 4-2-3-1. I do, but I also agree with what you're saying about Caden as well. And you can't have both. So, given that there's no the wingers are a real issue, then maybe you do have to go with the two up front.
Norwood and Judge worked really well in the Cambridge game. Yeah. Judge came on at half time, and it was that 4-2-3-1 with Judge in behind Norwood, and those two seemed on a really good wavelength there, and that is something that I would like to see going further forward.
That's the plan, isn't it? That if you said to Paul Lambert, fit squad, what's your team? That's what it would be. I'm convinced of that.
But right here, right now, Jackson is a lot sharper than Judge, and that's my reasoning behind things. But yeah,
well reasoned. I like it. Harvey Davis,
friend of the show. Sorry, I've done it again.
Just jumped all over you there, Stu.
You looked at me.
I looked at Stu. I did this. Harvey Davis. That's Stu.
You did it at me as well.
I'm quite happy to retire from singing.
Oh dances. No! Come
oh,
on!
Don't be like that. Come on, do it.
Number. I'll just do the whispery bit. Number two.
Is he number? I thought the pin was number two.
I don't know.
This is important. We need to get this information. Harvey Davis, anyway, our friendly Welshman. Great to have you back, boys. If Town do sign KVY, looking likely, is it likely that Emmanuel will be loaned out before the deadline, especially after Tuesday? And he adds, PS, any news on the live podcast? I've got to get my hotel booked. The live podcast is coming. We're working towards a date in December, hoping to get that confirmed after this very show. So, Emmanuel, if KVY comes in, is he on the way, do you reckon? Will he get loaned out?
If you've then got the three senior right backs, you don't need to carry three senior right backs, do you?
Wouldn't shock me.
Okay.
Wouldn't even know. We even talked about him potentially being part of the deal with Colchester because he's into his option year now. Ooh, Josh Emmanuel.
That's just speculation.
That's just us talking out loud.
But it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does make sense. Thoughts become things.
The thing with Emmanuel is he is a right back. And nothing but a right back, whereas Danasian can play anywhere across the back four. Vincent Young can play either full back, two wing positions. Josh is just a right back, and I don't think you can carry three in Ipswich's situation. I think that would probably be a bad sign for him if that happened.
Despicable ME. Was pre-season too soft and not competitive enough? Too much rotation and not strong enough opposition to really test us? Has left a few well short of match sharpness for my liking.
I disagree with that. They played two Bundesliga sides in there. I don't know what sort of level of opposition you want more than that. Yes, they came back and played the usual sort of games on domestic soil.
The players that you're talking about being lacking sharpness were injured.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It doesn't
matter. Can't do a lot about that.
It doesn't matter who you play.
Also, let's not forget that Town in the league haven't actually lost yet. They've got four points after two games. They should have beaten Sunderland by the sound of it.
Mm.
Do you think that the cup defeat is kind of winding fans up a little bit?
I think it's maybe evoked some memories.
Some feelings.
Some feelings that aren't too far away from being on the surface.
It proves to me that everything is just bubbling under the surface and all that Burton and Sunderland has done is kind of keep a lid on that. Mm. And that we knew that this weird feel-good factor is fragile and it's not going to take much for it to change slightly in certain people's minds. Maybe it's just a vocal element that I can understand. Ipswich have had years of building frustration around a number of issues that we've gone over so many times. The no win against Norwich, the no cup run, the kind of frantically treading water, and then finally last season. And so there is going to be an element of something under the surface, and they've got to just try and do their best to keep the lid on it, haven't they?
About the need to win games. Mm. That is how you keep the lid on that and how you push it away.
What's happened, asked Simon at Portman Ginge on Twitter, what's happened between the Honey Badger, again, another one using the emojis, and Brenner to cause the beef? Clear he doesn't like him. There does seem to be a tension watching it on Facebook.
I don't know. I think it's unjust to start with. Yeah, clearly there was a few little barbed comments last week. I think it goes back to a post-match press conference. I can't remember which game Hull. It was. Hull game, was it? And yeah. Brenner asked a perfectly reasonable question about the lack of wins. And Paul had been there for a little period of time now. And despite you being pleased with performances, would you have wanted more wins, whether
it was fair to be questioned over that, to be judged by his win record, which is a perfectly fair question.
And I think Paul misinterpreted it badly that day, and that's when we had the really strange post-match press conference where it was a few days after the club had put out the joint statement about Paul definitely be here, Marcus and Paul both saying that whatever happens this season. And then Paul suddenly went down this route of, well, if he wants to sack me, he'll sack me. I'll walk away now and all that sort of stuff. Which I think was a misinterpretation of that question. And it probably goes back to that day. And it's, I think Brenner's an excellent commentator. And I think he's a really good journalist as well. And
he's in a tough position as well, isn't he? Because he has to lead all of these interviews. And whenever there's something controversial, he always is the one that asks it because of the way that these interviews are done, these pre-match press conferences, Brenner leads them.
Why, just out of peek behind the curtain time, why does he lead them? Why does he have to lead
them? He needs the audio for the radio, doesn't he?
So he has to ask the big questions first, basically.
Yeah, and the BBC pay for their a certain amount of exclusivity as well. So stakeholders in the media side of things always go first. Sky are always the big dogs. And then it goes down to the BBC guys, and that's why we, who don't put any money into the pot, kind of are last up with certain things. But that's the way it works. You couldn't have a free-for-all press conference because it wouldn't work audio-wise. And they've decided that they would rather do that all in one hit than do radio and print and everybody separately. So that's the way it works. But Andy's right. It's I wouldn't want to be the first one up there in, you know, broadcast live on Facebook, being the first one asking all the questions and having to jump in first. I think he does a very good job.
He's got an excellent voice as well, Brenner Woolley, don't you think?
So friendly.
His
voice
nice
matches bloke. Matches his personality as well.
Kevin Quinton, Ipswich still looks short of goals in the team. He can't just rely on Norwood. I expect to score Skeverell, but is unproven at this level. Do you agree? And how would you alleviate the goal-scoring problem? And the obvious question is sign another striker. Or answer, rather. Norwood, we've talked about. Would you agree with that? Obviously, the two goals so far have been scored by Garber, who's a winger. Are there issues? Will there be issues?
I'm not too worried about it, to be honest. We're still finding our feet with what the team is. There's injuries. They've played three games. They've scored a goal in each game.
There's a lot of pressure on Norwood's shoulders this year, and we talked about in the preview one. And people are forgetting, I think, that he has never played at League One level for any period of time, a handful of games for Exeter, and he's played more football in the National League than he has in League Two. So I do worry that people have got, because of the cult of his personality and his confidence, and we love all of that, and the fact that he scored 32 goals last year, but maybe people have elevated him in terms of expectations. And I think we had that this time last year, that suddenly Caden Jackson comes in from League Two, jumps two divisions, number nine on his back, had a bit of a price tag, and people suddenly expected more from him than was fair. And I think it's a slightly different case with James Norwood, and I do think he'll score goals, but I think there might be periods, this is another thing that Andy and I have had a conversation. Andy, I think it might take him a little bit longer to find his feet, and maybe there's different types of striker in the building in terms of Caden Jackson, but somebody that's similar qualities to Norwood that can just alleviate the pressure on him, that there are times when maybe you need to dip him in and out. I hope he scores sooner rather than later, because that makes a really big difference to a striker early on. And he's talked about it in an interview with Andy and others, in terms of he's had goal droughts before in the past, and perhaps he now knows how to deal with them. We're two games in, for goodness sake. Let's see what happens.
Let's all calm down. Little Melon Man.
Tiny Little Melon Man.
Friend of the show.
The bass on that.
Stu can retire now. That was immense. Alistair Rattray, if that doesn't get a 9, I don't know what will. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thanks for kindly elevating me to friend status. I'm honoured to wear the number 8 shirt and now consider myself on the same level as Eric Gates, Johnny Walker and Matt Holland. A question. What is the chap's favourite age? Mine's iron, although I do like a decent stone too.
Iron age, stone age. What other ages are there?
Ice age. It's quite good.
You like that, being a Scandi admirer.
Ice, please.
I love your face when you say that. What's your favourite age, Dewey? I'd say 18, probably.
Age of the
Aquarius.
Yeah.
I like the Cretaceous period. I'm not sure that's an age.
Not an age, is it?
What would that be then? The age of the dinosaurs.
I don't know. Mm.
It's not an age.
Jurassic.
That's a period.
Cretaceous and Jurassic are both periods.
Both periods. We'll have the period chat next week. That'll be great.
Stewie's struggling. What was your favourite age, Ross? You've not got many to call upon, to be fair. You're only 23.
Middle age.
Middle age. I'm approaching middle age.
10.
10?
Didn't need to do anything at 10.
Life was simple then.
Life was. While we're on the subject of ages, do you think my haircut is age appropriate?
Yeah, I think you can still pull it off. I mean, I'm in no position to hand out any
advice. What you are?
If you had a skin fade, maybe.
Well, this is why, because I went to my.
Have I got a skin fade?
No.
You've just got skin.
Or just fade.
Yeah. Yours is all fade, baby. I went to my hairdresser and asked for a skin fade, and he looked at me and went. And he went, I'm not sure, mate. I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that's age appropriate. And I was like, actually, you've got a point.
He's helped you out there.
He has helped me out. And then once I saw a picture that we'd done of us in this very studio for the Kings of Anglia feature in the Next magazine, I thought, you've got a haircut that looks like a 16-year-old boy, Heath, who wants to be a footballer. Hence the question. You reckon I can get away with it?
I think as soon as you turn 40...
Which isn't long.
What you should just immediately go for. What's a...
Respectable middle-aged haircut.
Yeah, what is a middle-aged haircut now? Just
ease off on the product.
Yeah.
Probably Brill cream it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I need product because my hair is untamed. Like, if
I've
I
never seen your hair untamed,
no,
actually.
It's not. It's like a microphone.
Just do that one day.
Yeah.
Just for...
Okay, good chat.
Age.
Can I just ask, is our office going to be... unbearable today
because of A levels?
Yeah.
Yes.
Should we just stay here?
I've been in the office already. I can confirm it is unbearable.
Okay.
There are lots of shouting. Have you embedded this tweet?
Who's doing that?
Well, you can only imagine, can't you?
Okay.
What's the result from New Hall in Chelmsford?
That
Yeah, that kind of chat.
Stay here today.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, everything's pretty much sorted. The web is all done, by the way.
Oh, is it?
You don't need to worry about anything web-wise.
Not even Kane Vincent Young.
Well, apart from that.
Let's not worry about that.
Let's not worry about that. That breaking news. Sam James. Hi, guys. Rumours of a deal for striker may be close. What do you think? Any chance of Murphy coming back? Cheers. Daryl Murphy, what are you saying?
No.
No.
I'm just Googling ages still. Sorry.
Have you got any?
Age of Empires. That was. Do you remember Age of Empires
computer
on the PC?
Game. Yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah, I love that. That's my favourite.
That's quite. There's a few versions of that. There's another one called The Settlers, which is basically the exact same thing. That was good as well.
You could put a cheat code in and get the Batmobile.
In the Middle Ages, yeah. You could just tip up with a Batmobile.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Why am I not aware of this?
It's the age difference, isn't it?
Ross probably isn't aware of it either, because it's probably too old for Ross.
I'm so old.
Daryl Murphy, no.
No.
I'd be amazed if that happened. Last I checked, which was last week sometime, Ipswich had made no effort in that regard whatsoever, and some other League One clubs had. I'm not sure.
Well, who was the other one? Murphy and... Who
just said striker.
Okay.
Murphy.
The issue they've got is that the difference between people going, I'd rather have Daryl Murphy or Will Keane than Tom Elliott. Yeah, you would, but you're trying to convince someone to come and be competition for James Norwood.
Backup.
Yeah, and not guaranteeing. And those people of a certain age are going to be, you know, it becomes more important to people. It dawns on people that they want to play games in the twilight of their career. Why are you going to... So...
Well, this is it. This is Murphy's last season, isn't it? Mm. From what he said, 1 year and then back to Ireland with the family. He wants to play. Ipswich sentiment aside, he wants to play, doesn't he? And
he might decide, this is all hypothetical, but you know, he might decide, actually, I can go back to somewhere that I've loved and been settled, and that would be a fitting end if I could finish my career with a helping Ipswich to promotion, and I back myself to get in the team and do the business. But then it comes down to the financials as well, and he's going to be on a decent wage at Forest. It depends how much they want him off the wage bill and how low they would agree to go in terms of a percentage. But I'd be surprised if that was to happen.
Ipswich had made no move on that as of yet. So
and Lambert's made it very clear that he wants to build something and do, you know, sign people for the future. So it doesn't really fit in with that either, does it?
Tristan Ashby, I listened to the last pod but have clearly missed something. Where's the term honey badger come from? Tristan, get on board. Honey badger came from a question on Mailbag where I think we were asked what would the town players and managers be as animals. I went with honey badger because of the famous video, Honey Badger Don't Give a Shit.
Is it famous?
Well,
it is now.
It is amongst people of my age, my friend. It is now. So that's where it comes from, Tristan, and please use it in all further correspondence. Thank you very much. Alistair Rattray, are the executive boxes at Kenilworth Road the worst ones in existence or the best ever?
They are basically conservatories,
aren't they?
Yeah, I would say best ever. I can see why you'd say worst, but if they had something else around them, they would be the best ever because they would just be little conservatories. But the fact that that entire stand, that is it.
Yeah.
That's where the issue arises. Don't judge them by their appearance. Judge them for what they are. They're the best ever. Not that I've ever been in one.
Strangely beautiful. Kevin Mays, what new hobby can the doctor take up at 3 p.m. on Saturday that lasts for 2 hours? Surely it's no coincidence now. I love his match reports, but can he just watch a replay of the game at 5 p.m. and report from that?
I could ask the club if they'll give me access to their live feed. So they get a special live feed of all the games that I believe only 4 members of staff can access at one time, one of whom will always be Marcus. So I could ask if it's in their best interests to keep me away from the ground, but I do kind of need to watch it for my job.
Are you proposing that you would be at the ground but just not kind of in the stadium? You'd be like in a little room at the ground so you could still do the other parts of your job?
I don't know if that's enough to lift this supposed curse. I could do it from the office over the road and then at the full-time whistle I could run over and do...
It'd be helpful if they could let you in the gate that's directly opposite our office rather than having to go all
then
the way around.
Then he will sort me out.
Surely if we explain that if you're not directly at the game, then Town have got a better chance of winning.
I think this has become something... I mean, look, I'm happy I'll go with it. It's fine. But I haven't missed that many games over the years. Last year.
Yeah. Is that coming through on the...
I don't know.
Hopefully not.
It's just some fans.
Yeah.
we get this a lot. Yeah.
Beatlemania. Yeah. I missed 5 or 6 games last year, just for whatever reason. And 2 of them were wins.
Yeah.
So Ipswich won 5 games and I missed 2 of them.
The first 2.
Start of this season.
Yeah. So I think there is substance to it.
I looked back through it and I think I'm seeing 1 win in 7 since the kind of the turn of the year. So do you remember that Ipswich won a few games leading up to Christmas under Mick? Had back-to-back wins against
Derby and Forest.
Yeah. So since from that point forwards, seeing Ipswich win
through.
1 in 7. That's not great, is it?
It's not great, no. That's why they went down.
Carl Fuller, who writes a column for us, said that he'd seen 3 wins in 32 games. Mm. And when I said this in the office, oh my goodness, what a bad stat. You went, it's probably about the same as me.
Yeah. Well, it's the same for everyone because they're not winning games.
Sindre Elassian. That's a good name, isn't it?
It's probably Eliasson.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
How would you pronounce that?
Sindre Elassian.
Thank you. Expert.
That is coming in. That noise is coming in, isn't it?
And I think
I think it has been the whole time.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
There's someone very excited out there. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure what's going on. We'll try to ignore it.
That's coming through all my earphones.
Yeah,
duration of the podcast.
Anyway, Sindre wants to know, what's stopping Town from signing Keane or Murph? Wages? Wages? Both proven at championship level and would gladly sign with us if offered a decent contract, I reckon. Much better options than Elliot. Well, we've kind of talked about that already.
Murphy wages, and Keane's not probably fully fit yet either, is he?
And possibly even wages there as well. Mm. But maybe slightly different extent to Murphy, but yeah.
Yeah, he's a free agent, so he's perhaps not got the same negotiating power.
And there's no rush with Keane. Like, if he's still there and it's just need a striker, I've said this all summer, it wouldn't shock me if they signed him if he's still on the board
in October, yeah. November, whenever.
Whenever.
Dylan, is it just me who thought we've looked stronger defensively so far? Clean sheet at Burton, how many of those last season? Could easily have been another at Sunderland, against Sunderland. Have Town looked stronger defensively thus far?
It's hard to say when they've take the Tuesday night out of the equation. Because circumstances.
I don't think we need.
but is it really loud?
Well, okay. Yeah, parts of it is. I mean, I can hear like she's sitting next to me.
It's definitely coming in.
Yeah, shall we invite her in and see what she wants to wants to say?
But yeah, it could easily have been two clean sheets, 2-1-0 wins, and one titles are won on 1-0 wins, aren't they? Apart from one error by the captain, which happens. But
Burton's only real chances came through errors as well. The one from Holy where it charged down, dropped wide of the post, and another one where he came to punch, missed his punch, and Lucas Aikens really should have scored after picking up on that, and that was through error. So,
and that is hopefully the difference, that in League One you don't get punished as much. But it's certainly something that we talked about, this discontent bubbling. It was a theme of last season that Ipswich didn't quite have the ability to put teams to bed on top and then would find ways to shoot themselves in the foot as well. And we're seeing a little element of that creeping over into next season. It's something they need to address before people are convinced that this corner has been turned.
Question of the day goes to Ross Evans. How do you guys like your eggs in the morning? Is that like some kind of proposal, Ross?
I like mine with a kiss.
Yeah. And how do you think the honey badger has his eggs? Poached or scrambled for me?
Raw.
Great show, by the way. Top quality entertainment every week. Correct, Ross. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. So, honey badger, I think, is a great shout. Raw. He probably just cracks a few in a glass.
Paul Lambert doesn't understand what eggs are. In the same way, he doesn't know what. I don't know what. Whenever he gets asked about the being bookies' favourites and things,
yeah.
He just says,
I don't know the odds.
What is gambling? I don't understand how betting works.
Yeah.
I think he feels the same way about eggs.
So I think Raw's probably a great shout.
I've seen Paul Lambert eating eggs.
What was he having?
Poached. Was it avocado?
Oh, he's changed.
That's disappointing from the honey badger, I've got to say.
Didn't serve them in Glasgow, did they, when he was growing up? That's not what he was having.
I imagine him sort of cracking them on his head and then just
letting it drip into his mouth.
Yeah.
Smashed avo. That's not Paul Lambert, is it? Come on.
No.
How do you have your eggs in the morning, boys? Do you have eggs in the morning?
No, not today. It's a weekend. Well,
you are famous for your world-class eggs.
Yeah, the world-class ones are scrambled eggs. They're world-class. They are world-class.
And if you want to know how to make them, visit Hutchie's Instagram page. I believe there is a moment on there, a highlight.
There is, but just be aware of what you're signing up for with my Instagram page. That is nothing to do with football.
That's fine.
Just be aware.
Follow you as a person. It's more interesting.
Some people don't feel that way.
Stewie, how do you like your eggs?
Again, not a daily occurrence, more of a weekend vibe. And I would probably be going soft-boiled.
Oh, dirty bastard.
Soldiers.
Yeah.
Dippy eggs.
Little dippy soldiers.
Dippy soldiers.
Dippy
yeah.
eggs. Fantastic. That's a great shout. Roscoe?
Scrambled.
Yeah. Scrambled's a good shout. Yeah. I'd go any. Apart from really, well, I don't know, to be fair. I like fried.
You have eggs. Do you have eggs every day?
Pretty much. For breakfast every morning.
So what have you had today?
I had a poached egg this morning. Sometimes I have an omelette. Sometimes I have scrambled egg. Depends on how I'm feeling.
Are you having yolk and whites, or are you...
Whites, definitely, yeah.
You're not getting egg whites in a carton?
No.
No?
I have done in the past.
Because you do have meat delivered in the post.
Again, that sounds like a euphemism.
It's a new app.
Yeah, I did once get some meat delivered in the post. I haven't for a while.
Okay.
You got this some sort of safari package. I did. Which was from one of these, like, protein...
Yeah.
Websites.
It's a website which has food and muscle in the title. And I got what did I get? Ostrich,
tasty.
Buffalo,
very tasty.
Bison,
very tasty.
I have to say, it was good. Like the
some zebra in there.
There was zebra. Yeah. Yes,
that's cruel.
Why is that cruel?
I don't know. I've not tried it.
Wow.
Whale.
You're happy with the other animals being slaughtered, but draw a line at the zebra.
Yeah. Whale is very tasty.
Is it? Is that really fatty, though?
No, it really isn't. It's really nice.
Is it good, though? Like, cause
yeah, it's really good.
But is it controversial? People killing whales and stuff?
Well, don't...
They're
it depends where you...
They?
Not where I had it.
Where did you have it? Norway?
In Iceland.
Well, surely a species is endangered or it's not, just not in a...
Different kinds of whales.
Okay.
The Iceland are very strict on it. They've got, like, there's a proper quota that they can fish.
Because it's a big it's a big part of their diet, isn't it? Like whale
huge.
Meat.
Yeah, yeah, massive.
Yeah. Final question before we go to Mark's big question.
I love all whales.
This favourite whale? Minke whale I ate. The most meaty steak I've ever had, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But then, interestingly, if you eat puffin...
Don't eat puffin.
I did.
It
tastes like fish.
What?
Yeah.
That's wrong. Is that because they eat so much fish?
Yeah.
So it infuses the meat with a fishy tone.
Yeah. And then the other thing I ate when I went there is rotten shark flesh.
Oh, we've talked about this before with the fermented...
Fermented shark called hakal.
And you said it's the worst thing you've ever put in your mouth.
It's the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth.
And that, they serve it with basically something that's pure alcohol, don't they?
Yeah, Brenovan.
Yeah.
Blech.
Not good.
It's like drinking bleach.
Selling it. Selling it to me. So whale steak is the way to go if you're in Iceland.
Yeah.
Not fermented dead shark.
Yep, correct.
Obviously it would be dead. You're not going to eat a fermented live shark. Tom Lawrence, final question before Mark's big question. Lion bar, star bar, double decker or boost?
Boost.
Boost, I'm saying. That is a good question.
You've
though,
named potential in there. What's the star? I don't know what star bar is. But the other three are potential would definitely be in my top five.
That's I'm not sure about double deck. Double deck.
Like double decker.
Double deckers are underrated. Yeah. I think.
I'm not sure about them. I'm not against them. Just, they would be nowhere near my.
Who
top
was it
five.
Who told me that if you eat a double decker upside down, it tastes totally different?
It's a Mars bar.
A Mars bar. Okay.
That was me.
Same with a banana. Eat a banana sideways. Tastes different.
Eat a banana like sideways.
Yeah.
Like a corn on the cob.
Yeah. That's how monkeys eat them. That's monkeys don't peel them. They hold them at the sides, and they kind of snap them so that the skin splits in the middle. And you eat it.
I thought like monkeys peeled them upside down. I thought that was
with their feet. I've seen it on the cartoons.
That might be wrong.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I like it though. Bananas overrated for me. Just saying.
Yeah, we had this discussion the other day. You hit the nail on the head.
You hate them.
Andy's got a mild phobia of bananas.
Why?
I threw a skin at him once, and he freaked out.
What is it? The smell or?
All of it. My wife once, while I was asleep, once put a banana skin on my face, and I woke up. It was so bad. They're
is that what started the phobia, or did you already have
no, phobia? I already didn't like them.
Yeah.
And since then, it's been a bit...
I too have...
They're devious.
They're devious?
Yeah. They're in these little waxy jackets. They're like, ooh, I might be good in here. It might be really good for you. Or I might just be oozing with pus, and you'll never know until you open it.
Yeah,
with your feet.
There's telltale signs, though, in terms of the brownage.
Yeah, but like, it's not always. Complete... Yeah, but it's not always like that, is it?
There's nothing worse than when you open a banana and it's overripe. It's dreadful.
It's just dripping with its own sweat, like its own mucus.
Who was it you said that they also infect other fruit, don't they?
Yeah, that's the thing that. The thing I hate about bananas is the way they arrogantly go around spoiling the rest of the fruit in your fruit bowl.
Yeah.
They give off gases which ripen fruit around them.
And if you put them in a box, they make the box sweat.
Yeah, and if they spend some time next to the rest of your lunch, the rest of your lunch will smell and taste like banana as well.
Mm. Do one.
Have anyone else in the group while we're sharing got food phobia? Fruit phobia. I don't like peaches because of the way they feel.
Too slimy.
A bit waxy, sometimes a little bit hairy.
They're like really furry. And
yeah.
It makes me, you know, like back in the day when you used to play on a school playground with like a sponge ball?
Yeah.
Sometimes I touch that, it makes me feel a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm the same with peaches. Can't touch them. My wife has been known to chase me around the house with a peach.
These wives are evil.
I dislike them that much. Anyone else? Is it just me?
Mine's cotton wool.
Oh, yeah. Again, that's the same sort of thing, though, isn't it? That kind of weird.
Mm. What happens if you get cotton wooled? My friend Jamie from school had this issue.
It just gives me the shivers. There's that texture of it. If you.
Just thinking about it now, Stewie is shaking in his seat in the studio.
What do you use to remove your nail varnish then?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Roscoe, what are you scared of fruit-wise? Nothing, mate. I don't eat any of it.
No, I love fruit.
Let's do a Mark's big question.
I love fruit.
We don't hear a lot from Ross, but...
You also like Jaffa cakes.
Jaffa cakes as well.
Does Jaffa cakes count as a fruit? It's got orange in it.
Yeah.
It's not a cake.
There's still that half a box in your drawer, by the way.
Oh, and I've also got another packet in my bag, so more Jaffa cakes to be consumed today.
Ew.
Mark's big question.
Oh, yes. Ba-dum.
Mark's big question. Question.
Shark. Question. Have you ever eaten shark, Hutchie?
Yeah.
It's not very nice. I didn't enjoy it.
It's unnecessary,
isn't
it?
Quite rubbery.
Same as swordfish.
Just eating all of the ocean. Yeah.
Yeah, that's unnecessary.
It's a Scandinavian thing. Who should we go to? Stewie, pick a number between 1 and 37.
33.
Oh, no. 33. This is probably the worst person I could have asked this to. 33 is... ask 33 is ask the rest of us a big question. Now, you frequently said you don't like being put on the spot.
Any question?
Any question?
This is a proper cop out from you.
But I wanted to get the group more involved. Shall I go with 32 or 34?
I want to know more about Mark. I feel like we need to know more about Mark.
Well, ask me a question then.
Help me out, guys.
Oh, dear. Come on.
Mark.
Yeah.
What three things have shaped you into the man that you are today?
Wow. That's a good question, Hutchie.
Three.
Three things that have shaped me. Muhammad Ali. Definite. My dad, growing up, my dad loved Muhammad Ali. Told me all about Muhammad Ali. Rumble in the Jungle, Thriller in Manila. Sounded very exciting. Thus, I read all I could about him. And obviously, that's where I got my love from. Fight sports from. So definitely Muhammad Ali. What else has shaped me? Interesting. A lot of reading.
Of what?
I used to read the dictionary when I was a kid. I was one of them.
Nerd.
Yeah, basically. Nerd. So now I know lots of long words. Pointless reasons. What else has shaped me? That's a very good question, Hutchie.
Almost too good.
Almost too good.
Yeah, it's not really our vibe, is it?
No, sorry. Give us one more, because we've got Muhammad Ali and the dictionary at the moment.
Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali reading.
Oxford or Cambridge?
Probably, no, neither.
No, dictionary.
Oh, Oxford.
Is there a Cambridge dictionary?
I don't know. Is there? Are there rival dictionaries?
Yeah, Oxford is the big dog the big dog of the dictionary.
I think there are. Yeah, I think there are rival dictionaries. I think there are.
Should we make our own dictionary?
There's got to be other dictionaries.
There should be. There should be like a Kings of Anglia dictionary.
Who made Oxford the king of the dictionaries?
Again,
Oxford.
Like bananas. Arrogant.
Yeah.
The other thing that shaped me would probably be martial arts.
Kind of the same as Muhammad Ali.
No, that's the reason why I started boxing and stuff.
So very much fighting has shaped you. And the dictionary.
Without getting too deep, I think unless you've been in a fight, a proper fight, there's that line in Fight Club, isn't there? How much can you know about yourself? There's definitely credence behind that. If you've never been punched in the face, it's like most people think being punched in the face is one of the worst things that can happen, but once it happens a lot, you realise it's not really that bad at all. Mm. Hutchie, we know you've got a great chin because you took one on it and carried on walking from your street attacker.
Good memory, yeah, we did.
Stewie, I've punched you in the face before.
Mm-hmm. That was that was unnecessary. Well, shouldn't have done that.
We were sparring at the time.
Wow.
And you took it like a champ. You were a bit shocked, but I think that recovered. And Ross, you must have been punched before.
Kicked in the head.
I bet you've pulled a lot of people's hair. Rossi.
No.
I bet you kick in the nuts. That's
or
Ross's
pinch.
Go-to.
I bet you did a lot of pinching when you were young.
Chinese burn.
Did you see that little Twitter exchange earlier in the week with the Barnsley fan who had a really... Do you see this?
No.
There's a picture of a Barnsley fan at a game with a really, really long neck. Some guy like was like...
How long? It's good for radio.
What's that long?
That's about 6 inches.
A bit longer than that.
Yeah.
Really long neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And someone called it like... was like, my word, look at that, it's the longest neck I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And this lad replied, next time you're in Barnsley, I'll do you. And the other guy then just replied, well, I'll just Chinese burn your neck.
I've got a really long neck.
Have you?
Watch this.
What are you doing?
It's because my shoulders are quite sunken, so if I sort of exaggerate that...
That's the neck.
I've had caricatures done before, and they'll always hone in on the neck.
Really? I've never noticed that you've got a long neck.
Is that quite long now?
Keep going.
That's what she said.
Have you got any more?
It's like E.T.
Oh, man, I wish we'd videoed this. Are you getting this, Roscoe? Oh,
it stopped. Here we go. Here's this guy's neck. It's not as...
Rossi's just showed me. It is long.
Yeah, that is long.
That's
longer than your neck. That's a shame we didn't record that. Anyway, well, that's it then for Mark's big question. That was a damp squid.
Squid?
It was a joke.
Andy will eat that as well.
Loads.
What was that?
Why are you playing Finding a Way in the Dark?
That's sweet like chocolate.
What's that got to do with anything?
Who's that by?
Shanks a big fella.
Yeah. That was a tune.
Where's that come from?
Just played it.
Got a Superman theme as well up there. Chaplin, awesome. Bobby.
Ross, have you got that jingle to hand that you played us the other day of you introducing the fantasy football show?
No.
Yes, you have.
You have.
Come on, don't lie.
Find it.
I don't know where it is.
Find it.
Oh,
you do know where it is.
Radio just... Ross.
Yeah, have you not heard this? No. It's really good.
I don't know which one it is. I think it's predictions, yeah. Okay, this is Plug and Another Show on IO Radio.
It's all right, we're all friends.
There we go.
Yeah, this is it.
It's now time for the most anticipated weekly football segment on live radio. Three men, one goal, beat his fellow co-host. This is Premier League Predictions on Jumpers for Goalposts.
The most anticipated event on live radio. I think you were building that a bit, but
understated.
It's a bit of a throwback. That's what Kieran Stanley used to present that show.
Kieran, who has tomato ketchup with his roast dinner. Odd.
Yeah, wrong'un.
Boys, what time have we actually got the studio to? Because we've been here for a while now.
I think we're nearly wrapping up.
Oh, are we?
Probably go and put some transfer news on our website.
I just want to get this in from Harry Butcher. Harry Butcher, important stuff. Breaking news from Harry.
Shall I go low or high?
Really low.
Baritone.
Really low.
Friend of the show.
Wow. Number 7. Did anyone else feel like Stu was actually singing in slow motion then?
It's because I was.
It was good. Anyway, Harry just wants to say, because we missed it out last time, he sent us a tweet that said, I'm currently listening to all the podcasts in Gozo, Malta. Please just thank Hutch, the Doctor, and Roscoe for the fabulous job they do. No mention of me there, Harry. I love reading their articles, and they all deserve to make it to the top of journalism. Already have.
Thank you.
And he adds, especially Andy.
Ah.
Ooh.
So that's awkward, isn't it? Because I'm fairly convinced that when Harry sent this very show a message last year, Stewie was his favourite. Both the boys have now turned into teenage children. Both just attached to their phone. What's going on?
Just seeing what's out there on the web.
What the vibe is.
We're coming to a close. I'm getting my work head on again now.
Are you going to walk out like you did the other day?
No.
No.
No, okay, this isn't as important.
So we're not going to get to all the questions because we've run out of time. So thank you very much if you have asked a question in mailbag. Both
Harvey,
on
you're
Facebook.
Right, by the way. Andy Warren deserves...
Not Harvey.
To go. Harry. Is it? Harry. That's, Harry. Sorry, that's Harry. That's exactly that. That's exactly why.
That
kind
of arrogance.
I'm up there with bananas and what else?
Oxford Dictionary.
The Oxford English Dictionary.
Very arrogant. Sorry if we've not managed to get your question. I appreciate everyone who's communicated with us and got involved. Boys, we've got to go and put something online. I've got to do the usual outro, which is to say, if you haven't subscribed, please do so via your various podcast providers. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because it helps us get into the top 10 of the iTunes chart. That's the next goal. Roscoe, we need to play the Archant jingle.
Although we're supposed to play it in the middle. No,
we are very much supposed to play
it. We're still playing it though.
What we want.
Why have we got to play it in the middle?
I don't know.
We do what we want.
Exactly. Listen to, if you want to talk about Brexit or just listen to one of these podcasts.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
Meh.
There you go. If you do want to sponsor this podcast, ranked 18th in the UK football podcast charts on iTunes, so big exposure, you can email matt.withers, W-I-T-H-E-R-S, @archant.co.uk with a big money offer. Boys, I was intending to speak about Posh Withers at some point as well. Town at Posh this weekend. Let's just quickly do a prediction. Mike Bacon wrote a column which said, if Town don't beat Posh, I don't want any excuses.
Mike Bacon guaranteed a win against Sunderland and now says they have to beat Peterborough.
He's very much going for the...
he's up and down, Mike.
He's going for the provocative end of the spectrum when it comes to columns. So what are we saying? What's going to happen?
They haven't won yet, have they, Peterborough?
No.
They've lost all three games, including twice to Oxford.
I think it's going to be a draw.
1-1?
2-2.
Desmond's.
I think Ipswich will win, and I've just decided that in my head as those words came out.
Are you sticking with that for the duration?
I've got to now, haven't I?
Because what happens now is between Thursday morning and Saturday, we are constantly predicting the result of this game.
Normally I cover all bases. I'll do one prediction here, then I'll change it for a video, then I'll change it for print.
Did you just say 3-0, by the way?
1-0.
1-0.
Yeah. 1-0 to the Ipswich. That's going to be the season's tale.
So you're saying 1-0. Hutchie's saying 2-2. Roscoe, you're saying?
Going to lose.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a miserable way to end the podcast. Yeah. What's the score going to be?
1-0 to beat Miracles. Yeah.
I feel thoroughly thoroughly depressed now.
What's the point?
I'm going to say...
What is the point?
I'm going to say 2-1, Town, Norwood, both goals.
Mm.
Yeah? Because I've been reliably informed of the goal. You're right. The goals are coming. Friends, we've been here for too long. We've got to go and put KVY on the web. I say we, I mean you.
You've got a new nickname for him, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm not sure I should reveal that until he's officially signed. It's definitely going to catch
on. It's KVY Jelly, isn't it, Mike?
That is the nickname. Yeah. No? Maybe it's not going to be as good.
Ross wants to go out.
Thank you. We'll speak to you again next time.